Okay, so as Shimi likes to say, Mo'adim l'simcha to everyone, a good moed. It made complete sense to give a shiur on Shvi Shel Pesach, A, because it's tonight. For you, I guess it's 2 days, but also because it's something I've always been fascinated by. And you know, there are so many aspects to talk about. Right? What I want to talk about is, you know, what's the content of Shvi Shel Pesach, and through that question, deal with the issue of Hallel. As we know, we only say Chatzi Hallel, which is strange, because it's a Yontif, and on a Yontif we should say Hallel Shalem. And in fact, as we'll see together, there really is no such thing as Chatzi Hallel. You know, we're so used to it because essentially we made it up. There's only Hallel Shalem. Everything else is fake. In fact, the Rambam paskens that you don't make a bracha on what we call Chatzi Hallel. And in fact, not to show off, but on when I'm home for davening, I usually daven with the Sfardim around the corner from me. They're real Sfardim, and they don't make a bracha on Hallel. They just start saying Hallelujah, and there's no ending to it either. And you know, the first time you see it, you think these guys don't know what they're talking about. Then you find out that it turns out no, they're the authentic minhag, and we're the changed minhag. So I want to talk about Shvi Shel Pesach, and I want to talk about the role Hallel has in it, the various reasons why we don't say Hallel, and come to what I think is an interesting conclusion about the content of Shvi Shel Pesach. Okay, so if we start at the beginning, if I ask you, you know, what's the content? Why do we have a holiday of Shvi Shel Pesach? So most of us would think instinctively, well, that's how all holidays work. You know, the first day is a Yom Tov, is Mikra Kodesh. The last day is Mikra Kodesh. So, you know, it works that way for all Yom Tovim. So of course it works that way for Pesach as well. And it's true until you realize that it's completely not true. There are no holidays like that other than Pesach. Shavuos obviously is only one day. Sukkos is a holiday of 7 days. It happens to have appended to it an eighth day called Shmini Atzeres, but that's a different holiday. The only holiday that has a first and seventh day that are Yom Tov is Pesach. So, okay, you know, that's neither good nor bad. It's just a fact. But the answer isn't we always have the first and last day of Yontif be Yom Tov, because Pesach is the only example of that. Well, so if it's not the case that this is traditionally how you do it, first and seventh day, why do we have a Yom Tov on the seventh day of Pesach? So really good news for us. This is a significant historical event that took place on the seventh day of Pesach.
Yes,
Right?
Yamsuf.
It's called Kriyas Yamsuf. And Shul tomorrow is really exciting because, you know, you read Shiras Hayam. And for people who used to daven in the Sfardim in the good old days, Mr. Herman, Zichrono Levracha, always read Shiras Hayam because he loved it. And okay, it's a magical moment, Shiras Hayam. So that's a good day. That's a good reason for the holiday. Except when you look in the Torah, it's not there. There's not a single place in the Torah where the Torah connects Kriyas Yam Suf and the seventh day of Pesach. Worse for our theory, or better, is that when the Torah tells us that Pesach is going to be a 7 day holiday, first day Mikra Kodesh Isur Malacha, seventh day Mikra Kodesh Isur Malacha, you know when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that? The answer is well before Kriyas Yamsuf ever happened. And here it is. First source, Shmos Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Mitzrayim, Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Ha'aviv, you're about to go out. V'haya ki yivyacha Hashem al Eretz HaKenani v'hachiti v'ha'emori v'hachivi v'ha'ivusi asher nishba la'avotecha latet lach eretz zavat chalav udvash, and when you finally enter the land of Israel, va'avadita et avodah hazot b'chodesh hazeh, you should keep this holiday at this time during this month. What's the holiday? Pasuk vav, shivat yamim tochal matzot, 7 days you should eat matzah. Uvayom hashivii chag l'Hashem, and on the 7th day will be a special Yom Tov to Hashem. We already know that the first day is a Yom Tov. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that the 7th day will be a Yom Tov. So it's great. It's what we observe. It's what we know. Except it's before Kriyas Yam Suf ever happened. Okay? It's not necessarily a problem, but it's just important to point out that the 7-day holiday of Pesach was given to us while we were still in Mitzrayim. A bigger problem, again, problem is not a good word to use, but a bigger problem is what I mentioned before, and that is there's no place in the Torah that we're told that Kriyas Yam Suf happened on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Again, I'm not here to tell you that it's not true. I believe it's true, and it's our tradition. It's just not there. Let's read Psukim together, because they're good Psukim to read right before Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Again, we're in Pasuk Yud Gimel. We're a little, Perek Yud Gimel. We're a little bit, the Psukim we read in source number one were the very end of Parshas Bo. Now we're at the very beginning of Parshas Bishalach. Vayihi Bishalach paro et ha'am, v'lo nacham Elokim derech eretz plishtim ki karovhu, ki amar Elokim pen yinachem ha'am birotam milchama v'shavu Mitzrayim. What day was Pasuk Yud Zayin? Vayihi Bishalach paro et ha'am, we know. Tes Vav Nisan, right? The first day of Pesach. And then the Torah tells us, "Vayasev Elokim et ha'am derech hamidbar yam suf v'chamushim alu bnei som eretz Yitzrayim." We took the circuitous route. Vayisu misukot vayachanu beitam b'tzei hamidbar. And there's some action and some traveling when we left Mitzrayim. And then Hashem says, "Daber bnei Yisrael v'yashuvu v'yachanu lifnei pi'achirot bein migdol uvein hayam." We should go backwards and encamp at pi'achirot. When we go backwards, then they'll think we're confused. Vayugad lemelech Mitzrayim ki varach ha'am. A great pasuk, not for now. I think Melech Mitzrayim already knew ki varach ha'am. In fact, vayhi bishalach paro et ha'am, he sent them out. Nevertheless, vayeafech levav paro v'avodav el ha'am, vayomru mazot asinu ki shilachnu et Yisrael me'avdeinu. Uh-oh. What a terrible mistake we made. Vayirdufu Mitzrayim acharehem, vayasigu otam chonim al hayam, and they catch us at Yam Suf, and that is the setup for Kriyas Yam Suf. I challenge anybody to be able to read dates into these psukim. Again, we know that we left on Tezvav Nisan. We know that there was some traveling around. We know that we went backwards and we fooled them and then they chased us. But it is not possible to determine from the Psukim in the Torah what date Kriyas Yam Suf took place. Okay, so why are we so sure? And again, me amongst them, I'm a traditional Jew. We all believe that Kriyas Yam Suf took place on Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It starts with a medrash that Rashi made famous. Source number 3, Vayugad Lemelech Mitzrayim, says the medrash, Iturin Shalach Imahem. Paro sent spies with the Jewish people. If you remember, it's forgotten by the end of the story, but if you remember, Moshe really asked for 3 days, right? That was the request. So according to the Medrash, Paro sent messengers. V'kevan shehigiyu l'shloshet yamim shekavu lelech v'lashuv v'ra'u she'inan chozrim l'mitzrayim. And when the promised 3 days came and went, and the Jewish people were clearly not returning to Mitzrayim, ba'u vihigidu lefaro bayom ha'revi'i, they came back and told Paro on the 4th day, hey, they're not coming back. Bachamishi ubashishi rodfu acharehem. 5th and 6th day, they chased after us. V'leil shivi'i yardu layam, on the night of the 7th day of Pesach, we went down into the sea, bishacharit amru shira, in the morning we came out and said shira sayam, V'hu Yom Shvi'i Shel Pesach, and the Medrash or Rashi then says, Lachain Anu Korin Hashira Bayom Hashivi'i. Okay? The Medrash quoted by Rashi tells us, well, we all learned in nursery. And by the way, nobody disagrees with this, that the seventh day of Pesach is the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, right? There were 3 days, and Paro sent messenger. The messengers came on the fourth day. They chased us for 2 days. They caught us on the eve of the seventh day. That's where the standoff at the sea happened. We go into the sea some point during the night. We come out in the morning, and that's Kriyas Yamsuf. And that's why we read Oz Yashir on the seventh day of Pesach. Okay, great. So everybody agrees to the tradition. The slight question, which we'll come back to, is, well, if it's so obvious and everybody knows it's true, why doesn't it just say so in the Torah? Why? You can ask the question in two flavors. Why doesn't the Torah tell us that Kriyas Yamsuf happened on the seventh day? And or, why doesn't the Torah connect the seventh day of Pesach with Kriyas Yamsuf? It's very reminiscent of another significant event that we celebrate that's also not commemorated or connected to a holiday in the Torah. Anybody know what I'm referring to?
Shavuos.
Mm-hmm. Shavuos, thank you. Is Zman Matan Torah Teinu. Nobody disagrees with that. And yet, there is no connection in the Torah with Ma'amad Har Sinai and the sixth day of Sivan. We have a tradition, but it's not connected. So I think the question is asked in both questions, and the question is a good question to ask in both of those cases. Just to finish this point, the Psukim in Dvarim, obviously Dvarim is 40 years later, Moshe is telling us, source number 4, Sheshet yamim tochal matzot uvayom hashivii atzeret l'Hashem alokecha lo ta'aseh melacha. Right? 6 days you eat matzah. On the seventh day is a holiday. That's Shvi'i Shel Pesach. Don't do any melacha. Again, no connection whatsoever to Kriyas Yamsuf. But the Sfarno on the spot says the following. Source number 5. Ubayom ha-shivi'i atzeret, ne'etzru bo Yisrael yachtov la'avodat hakel yitaleh. We were held back or restrained to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'sharu lo shira b'shvi'i shel chag ha-matzos. Here the Sfarno seems to be saying it historically, that because we sang Shira, we said Az Yashir Takadosh Baruch Hu on the seventh day of Pesach, Lefikach Nikdash Oto Hayom. Therefore, the Sfarno says that day was sanctified, Velo Ta'aseh Melacha, and we were therefore given an Isser Melacha. Ki Luleze, were it not for Shiras Hayom, Lo haya hashvi'i kadosh klal. The seventh day of Pesach would never have been sanctified. Kimo shehu ha'inyan b'chag ha'sukot, she'ein hashvi'i shalom mikra kodesh. Says the Sfarno, again, against what we would normally think, if it was not for Kriyas Yamsuf and Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach would never have been a Yom Tov. He said, because the seventh day of Yomim Tovim were never a Yom Tov. Now, what the Sfarno does with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the seventh day of Pesach as a Yom Tov already in Mitzrayim, I don't know. But what's clear is, at least the Torah chooses to hide the connection between Shvi'i Shel Pesach and Kriyas Yamsuf, even though, you know, you go and you ask anybody on the street, what's Shvi'i Shel Pesach about? And he'll say to you, oh, it's the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's why we lane Shiras Hayam. Okay, let's leave that for now. We'll come back to it. That's the background. That's the historical background, again, to the seventh day of Pesach. It's given to us in the Torah as a day of Isser Melacha, unrelated to Kriyas Yamsuf. you cannot trace the date of Kriyas Yamsuf from the Psukim in the Torah. Nevertheless, we all believe in our hearts that Shvi Shel Pesach is the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that somehow, like the Sforno says, Shvi Shel Pesach probably would not be a Yom Tov were it not for the fact that it is the day of Shiras Hayam and Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. Shiras Hayam leads us to a really, really fascinating topic, and that is Hallel. Again, if you didn't know anything, if you weren't a Jew who goes to shul all the time like we are, if I asked you if we say Hallel on Shvi Shel Pesach, you would say, of course we do. And if I asked you, do we say real Hallel or fake Hallel, you know, our instinct would be real Hallel, because it's a real Yom Tov. And if it's a real Yom Tov, you know, you should probably say Hallel Shalem with the bracha. You know, couldn't be less important than Yom HaTzmaot. Okay, little joke, leave it, don't get angry at me. Okay, so why is the din otherwise? In fact, we all know that we're going to say Chatzi Hallel tomorrow, which is strange, given that A, it's the Yom Tov, and B, it's the day of Kriyas Yamsuf. So let's start at the beginning, just because it's interesting to know. Where did Hallel come from? So the Bahag and probably the Ramban thought it might be a mitzvah d'oraisa. So obviously the text would not be. The Rambam thinks it's definitely a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But where does it come from? So the answer is, we know, it comes from the end of Tehillim. If it comes from the end of Tehillim, that means that it was written by David HaMelech. Okay, and so fine, it was written by David HaMelech, and presumably, you know, Chazal at some point chose these prakim of Tehillim as being the content or the substance of the mitzvah of Hallel. And so we have a mitzvah of Hallel. It would be very similar, for example, to one understanding of the mitzvah of benching, right? God told us, v'achalta v'savato v'erachta. Okay, the text was developed later, over a period of time in history. So you could have a mitzvah to do something, and the text develops over time. The Rambam would say, for example, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of davening every day. Shmona Esrei became the text for that. The text is only drabanan. The mitzvah is d'oraisa. So it could be as simple as the fact that Chazal decided to take certain prakim at the end of Tehillim and turn it into a new prayer called Hallel. Except, even though that's what most of us...
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
But there's a difference there, it seems to me. With the benching, they take psukim and they have an idea, and then they find a pasuk that embodies that. Here you're taking a set of prakim that you could choose any out of 150. Beautiful. One second, Shaful. Out of 150, they have an idea. They choose, you know, 12 or 13 prakim here, or 9 prakim, whatever it is. It's different of choosing one group consecutive prakim as opposed to choosing a few ideas from here and a few ideas from there.
Good. So I'm suggesting what I think is the traditional answer. Now we'll look at the Gemara. The Gemara makes it even more complicated. Look at source number 6. Gemara in Pesach and Kuf Yud Zayin Amad Av says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan, Hallel Zeh Mi Amaro, who made up Hallel? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Moshe v'Yisrael Amruhu b'sha'ah she'amdu al hayam. Wow. The Gemara suggests that the first recitation of Hallel ever was Moshe and Klal Yisrael at Kriyas Yamsuf. Now it gets harder. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yoshua v'Yisrael Amruhu b'sha'ah she'amdu al hayam malchi Kinan. No, it was Yoshua when they went to war. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer Chizkiyo v'siyata Omru Chizkiyo and his legion said it b'sha'ah she'amad aleihem Sancheirib, when Sancheirib was sieging them. There are other suggestions in the Gemara, including Mordechai and Esther. Then you have Vachachamim Omrim, Nevi'im Shebeinehem Tiknu Lahem LeYisrael, Sheyehu Omrim Oto Al Kol Perek Uperek Va'al Kol Tzara V'Tzara Shelo Tavo Alehem LeYisrael, U'Lishenig Alin Omrim Oto Al Geulatan. No, the last sheet that says Chazal made it up, Nevi'im made it up, that at certain particular times we should say Hallel, including when we are redeemed. Now, nobody paskins this Gemara. It's not clear that it's a machlokes. It could be that everybody agrees that it was said at each of these different times in history. But it's clear, at least, that within the Gemara, you know, you're not an apikoros if you say that people said Hallel before David HaMelech. Right? You know, we all know that David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, except there are all these examples in the Gemara of parts of Tehillim that existed before David HaMelech. The Gemara says, for example, that Adam HaRishon said Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. Okay, so it's not the strongest question in the world. It means we seem to have some kind of tradition of saying Hallel to thank God, and it wouldn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise any of us, that this tradition was quite old. And one of the ways you could read the Gemara is you could say Moshe and Yisrael said a form of Hallel, not necessarily the form of Hallel that we know. Okay? But certainly the idea of Hallel exists in the Gemara, you know, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Good. So Hallel existed, and Hallel has significant historical importance. But now let's get to Halacha Lemaisa and to our case. Again, the question we want to deal with, we want to answer is, how could it be that on Shvi Shel Pesach, the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf, we do not say real Hallel? Now, again, when I say real Hallel, it's important, and I probably should have put sources down for this. Real Hallel was all of what we call Hallel Shalem. There was no such thing, really. There wasn't supposed to be such a thing as Chatzi Hallel. How do I know that? Because when I go to the Sephardi shul around the corner on the first day of Pesach, they make a different bracha on Hallel than we make. They make the bracha that the Rambam made. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu ligmor et ha-Hallel. Now, you could only say ligmor et ha-Hallel if you're going to be gomer et ha-Hallel. If you're going to skip two chapters as we do for Chatzi Hallel, well, there must be something else going on. And the truth is, there is something else going on. When we say Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, it's some kind of super minhag. The Gemara doesn't think you're supposed to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And here we go. Source number 7, the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, says as follows. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok Shmona Asar Yamim Shehayachid Gomer Bohem et HaHalel. Couldn't be any easier. The Gemara says there are 18 days that an individual, meaning a person who's not in shul, who's not with the tzibur, says Hallel, which, by the way, are the 18 days on which we say Hallel Shalei. What are they? Shmona Yimei HaChag, 8 days of Sukkos, Ushmona Yimei Chanukah, okay, 8 days of Chanukah, that gets to 16, V'yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach gets you to 17, V'yom Tov Shel Atzeres, and the first day of Shavuos gets you to 18, and a throwaway for those of you who live in the exile, U'Begola Esrim Ve'echad. Right? And if you live in Chutz La'aretz, so you tack on another day for Sukkos, another day for Pesach, and another day for Shavuos, gets you to 18. I'm sorry, gets you to 21. Now we come to the question we want to ask. What are the rules? Maishna b'chag de'amrinan kol yoma. Why is it that on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and on Shemini Atzeres. We say Halal Shalem Umayshna bePesach Delo Kol Yoma. And why is it that on Pesach we do not say Halal every day? According to the Gemara, we don't say it at all. We only say it on the first day. Okay? That's the question that the Gemara asks. That's the question that we all want to ask. And in our specific question case, we want to ask, forget Chol HaMoed Pesach, but Shvi Shel Pesach, which is an Isser Malacha, and it's a day of Yom Tov. How in the world could we not say a full Hallel? So the Gemara answers as follows. There's a difference between Sukkos and Pesach. What's the difference? Dichag on Sukkos, Chalukin b'karbino sehen. Every day of Sukkos has a different carbon. De Pesach ain chalukin b'karbino sehen. But Pesach, every day, has the same carbon. Okay, so apparently, right, that's how we get to our favorite part of laning. Ka'e'e'ila, right? Because they did the same thing every single day. That's on Pesach, not on Sukkos. So the Gemara's answer is, the reason why we say Hal every day on Sukkos is because every day there was a different carbon brought. And on Pesach, every day the same carbon was brought. Now, I guess you have to add on to that some explanation that the Gemara doesn't give, which is a separate or unique carbon for the day must generate some kind of additional kedusha, must generate some kind of additional specialness, don't know, that requires the recitation of Hallel. If you're just saying the same thing, then you don't need to say Hallel. Okay? So, the rule is, if you have a special carbon, you have to say Hallel. Asks the Gemara, wait, if that's the rule, then Shabbos de Chalukah b'karbono sehalema. Wait, Shabbos has its own carbon. It has its own carbon musaf. Then why don't we say Hallel on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, there's another rule. Lo ikri moed. In order to have a Hallel said, the day has to be described as a moed. Shabbos is not described as a moed, so it's out. Wait, there's another example. Rosh Chodesh de'ikri moed lema. Wait, if the rule is that you need your own carbon and you need to be called a moed in order to say Hallel, why don't we say Hallel Shalem on Rosh Chodesh? Answers the Gemara, there's a third rule. Lo ikdish ba'asiyas malacha. Rosh Chodesh, as we know, does not have an Isser Malacha. So there are three requirements to get Hallel. One, it needs its own carbon, therefore Pesach is out. Two, it needs to be called a Moed, therefore Shabbos is out. Three, it needs to have an Isser Malacha, therefore Rosh Chodesh is out. Okay?
Okay, so how does Hanukkah get in?
Excellent question. It's as if the Gemara knew it was coming. So first of all, let's just go back. Before we go ahead, let's just stop for a second and understand the laws of Hallel. Apparently, to say Hallel, you need it to be a Yom Tov with an Isser Malacha. You need that day to have a unique carbon. Then you say Hallel. Again, Pesach does not have a unique carbon. Therefore, Pesach doesn't get it. Now, the question was an excellent question. Chanukah is not called a Moed. Chanukah doesn't have a carbon. Chanukah doesn't have an Isser Malacha. So it turns out there's another way to get Hallel. And here's the Gemara, the last line. Ask the Gemara of Chanukah de lohachi v'lohachi ka'vaka amar. Chanukah doesn't have any of these three rules. And we say Hallel Shalem. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Nisa. No, Chanukah falls into a different category because on Chanukah, a miracle took place. And if a miracle takes place, apparently you don't need a karban, you don't need an issur melacha, you don't need to be called a moed. Okay, that, you know, the Gemara goes on, but that's it. Just in, if you're curious, the Gemara's assumption is that all holidays should have Hallel, right? What are the two holidays we've skipped?
Purim.
No, Purim. So we're just talking about biblical holidays. The two are what we call the Yomim Noraim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom
Rosh
Kippur.
Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur.
And the Gemara says that's a special limud. Sifrei Chaim v'sifrei Mesim psuchim lefanai va'atem omrim shira. Right, you're now being judged for your lives. Hallel is inappropriate on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, so now we've dealt with all the holidays. But we are left with a problem. The problem seems to me is, wait, I get it. I'm not going to say Hallel Shalem on Shvi'i Shel Pesach, just like I don't say Hallel Shalem on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Why not? Because it doesn't have its own carbon. It's the same carbon as every other day. But wait, what does Shvi'i Shel Pesach have? The answer is, it has a miracle.
Malacha.
No, it has a miracle. It's true. It doesn't have its own carbon. It is, you know, so it's out on the first test. But it passes the Hanukkah test, which is, it has a miracle. Now, the simple answer for this might be, and maybe the reason nobody asks it, is because it doesn't have a miracle in the Torah. Meaning that could be the simple answer. The Torah never says that Shvi'i Shel Pesach is the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Torah never says that the reason why we celebrate the seventh day of Pesach as a holiday is because of Kriyas Yamsuf. So presumably, that's why Hallel didn't get there. But it's going to get a little more complicated. First, let's look at the halacha. Source number 8 says the Mechaber in Hilchos Pesach in Or HaChaim Siman Tov Tzadi, Kol hayamim shel cholo shel moed, u'shne yamim achronim shel yom tov, all of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and the last 2 days of Yom Tov, korim ha-halel bidilug kimo b'rosh chodesh. That's another way of saying you don't say Hallel Shalem. You read Hallel with the skips, what we call Chatzi Hallel, just like on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, great. And I know the reason why. The reason why is because the Gemara said that on the eighth day, on the seventh day of Pesach, there is no unique carbon, right? That's what we saw in source number 7. In Erechin Daf Yudam and Aleph. The problem is nobody takes it seriously. Here comes the Mishneh Berurah in source number 9, and he says as follows: Korin ha-halel bedilug, you say only chatzi hal on the eighth day of, on the seventh day of Pesach. Why? Mipnei shebiyom shiva shel Pesach nitbeu ha-mitzrim. Because we think of the seventh day of Pesach as this great miraculous day in which we were saved. But says the Mishneh Berurah, but the Egyptians were drowned. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Ma'aseh Yodai Tovim Bayam, Va'atem Omrim Shira Lefanai. The Egyptians are drowning, and you're going to say Shira? V'kevan Shebizayin Ein Omrim Oso. And since you don't say Hallel on the seventh day of Pesach, Al Kain, B'chol HaMoed, Gam Kain, Ein Omrim Oto, Shelo Ye'adif Miyom Tov Achron. A strange statement, but the Mishneh Berurah says, once you can say Hallel Shalem on the seventh day of Pesach, why not? Because a tragedy happened on that day. The Egyptians were drowned. Well, it doesn't make sense. It would be an insult to the seventh day of Pesach, which is a Yom Tov, if you said Hallel Shalem on Chol HaMoed. So therefore, we don't say Hallel Shalem on Chol HaMoed either. Now, it rings true. It sounds familiar. But how does the Mishneh Berurah reject the Gemara? How do the Poskim, the Gemara in Erechin says The reason why we don't say Halal Shalem on Pesach, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, on Shvi'isha Pesach, is because they're not chalukim b'karbonoseihem. All of a sudden, the poskim show up and say, nah, that's not the reason. The reason is because God said you're not allowed to say Halal on the day that the Egyptians drowned. Where'd they get it from? So it turns out it's an early medrash, and a form of it is quoted in the Gemara in source number 10 in Sanhedrin, Lamed Tes Amud Bet. Here it comes. Says the Gemara, the Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Rav Yonasan, Mai Dichsiv Velo Karav Ze El Ze Kol Alayla. What does the Pasuk mean when it says that the two camps did not come near to each other all night long? It's a drasha. It doesn't mean the camps of the Israelites and the camps of the Egyptian. What it means is the Malachim, right? The Malachim get together and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow them to get together. Why? Here it comes. Be'ota sha'a bikshu malachei ha'sharet lomar shira lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. During Kriyas Yamsuf, the malachei ha'sharet wanted to sing shira to God. Amar lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says back to them, Ma se'yadai tovin bayam va'atem omrim shira lifanai. God says to them, this is not a good time for you to sing Shira. In fact, I'm not going to let you sing Shira. Why not? Because the Egyptians are drowning. Okay, so at least there's a source for what the Mishnah Berurah says. It's a source. And the source is this Medrash that's quoted in the Gemara that the Malachi Asharis asked for permission to sing Shira during Kriyas Yamsuf, and God said to them, you can't, because the Egyptians are drowning. Okay. Now, a lot of Mefarshim asked the question, why do we need this reason? What was wrong with the reason in the Gemara and Erechin? The Gemara and Erechin said, hey, you can't say Halal if you don't have your own unique karban. Why did this Gemara and Sanhedrin have to exist? And why did the Poskim have to bring this Gemara as well? So the obvious answer seems to be, at least to me, that the Gemara in Erechin only covers the first part, which is, okay, it doesn't have its own karban. But what about the fact that Shvi'isha Pesach is the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf? So again, you could say that the Gemara in Erechin doesn't acknowledge that, because it's not quoted in, you know, it's not quoted anyplace else. It's not psukim in the Torah. But the better answer seems to be that the Gemara in Sanhedrin is coming to explain to us why we don't say Halal Shalem on Shvi'isha Pesach, despite the fact that a miracle took place. And again, it's very similar to the Gemara about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The Malachim come to God, and the Malachim on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur say, how come Bnei Yisrael aren't saying Halal? And God says it's inappropriate on the Yom HaDin. Here, the Malach HaSher has come to God, ask for permission to sing Shira. And God says you can't, because if you do, because it's a tragic day, because it's the day on which the Egyptians died. Okay, now, the problem is, we don't think of it as a tragic day. And the Gemara, you know, and the Psukim don't ever acknowledge, as we pointed out before, that the seventh day is the day of Shiras Hayam. But worse or better is the whole conversation about Halal on Shvi'isha Pesach seems to be completely beside the point. Because what could be a better praise of God than Shiras Hayam? And we did say Shiras Hayam on the seventh day of Pesach, and it's all over the Torah. And so, you know, this whole discussion seems to be a little bit beside the point, because it's the first day that human beings ever said Shira, and it's a significant day. And, you know, why are we wasting our time arguing about them? Malachim asked God if they could say Shira, and God said no. And Yisrael said Shira the next morning. So It could be that a lot of this is tied up in the same point. It could be, and this I'm just suggesting, I can't tell you that it's true for sure, but it seems possible to me that of course God wanted the seventh day of Pesach to be a holiday because it's the day on which he split the sea for us. And that's a miracle that deserves to be commemorated. But from God's perspective, it also was the day in which the Egyptians were destroyed. And while we're his favorite and we are the chosen people, all people of the world are God's creations. And so it's possible, it seems to me, that God wanted the day to be a day of Yom Tov, but he didn't want to say so in the Torah. Because it's also a day that the Egyptians were annihilated. So wink, wink, God set it up so that there's a holiday on Shvi Yishel Pesach. Now, he never told us that that holiday is the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf, or said in the negative way, the anniversary of the annihilation of the Egyptian army. But we know it. We know it, and we celebrate it for that reason. Menachem Aaron, can you mute you? Thank you. Okay. So that's one possible answer. It kind of connects.
Ellie, can it be said that since Shri Yishel Pesach is really like the Geula, the Holy Yontif is the Geula, and this doesn't manifest itself into the ultimate Geula of, the whole idea of Geula is that the world recognizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu, as well as we, reaching a certain level.
Look, Kriyas Yamsuf is not a secret, right? Obviously, Kriyas Yamsuf is a significant part of Sefer Shmos, and the whole world knows it. It seems for some strange reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to let the Malachi Ashari sing Shira, and we don't say Halal Shalem, even though we say Az Yashir. And again, we need to work our way through it, and I want to suggest now kind of three ideas how it could be that the Malachi Ashari asked for permission to sing Shira, and God said no, and Bnei Yisrael sang Shira anyway. Obviously, the Gemara knows that. So the first suggestion I want to make is that there's a difference between participants and onlookers. Okay, Malachi HaShares were not at risk. They were not going to be drowned in Yam Suf. They were just watching from the sidelines. They were watching it on TV. But we who were saved, if you're a participant, you say it instinctively, meaning you have no choice. You're so thrilled.
Hello, we don't hear you.
You don't hear me? Can you hear me now?
We hear you.
No.
We hear you fine.
I hear you fine.
It's fine. Debbie. It's not us. Debbie, on your side.
Okay. So I'm going to keep going then. I'm sorry, Debbie. You can't hear me anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay. So we who were saved, we react immediately, instinctively, naturally to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not focused on Egyptians. It's true the Egyptians died, but that's none of our business. They were going to kill us anyway. And so in a way, Shiras Hayam becomes the same thing as saying Hallel at Leil HaSeder. How is it that we say Hallel at Leil HaSeder? So most of us know this idea that Hallel at Leil HaSeder is Hallel Shel Shira. It's instinctive. It's natural. It's not commemorating something that happened. We were just saved. And when you're saved, then you have no choice. When you're saved, when you're saved, you immediately respond naturally to being saved by praising God. And that's the Rashi, source 11. Az Yashir Moshe, says Rashi, Az Kishera'a Hanes, Allah Belibo Sheyashir Shira. When he saw it happen, it just bubbled up within him. He couldn't hold it off. Skip to the end. Afkan Yashir, Amar Lo Libo Sheyashir. V'chein asa. V'yomru le'mar ashira l'Hashem. It wasn't planned. It wasn't like some kind of davening. It was the response to being saved. It was just almost a spontaneous reaction to being saved. And so, yeah, the Malachi Ashares were prohibited from singing Shira because they were watching from afar. But we, who walked through Yam Suf, who feared the Egyptians, we did it instinctively. We did it naturally. Therefore, we were allowed to do it. Okay. Second answer. It's a technical answer, but I think it's a great one. Why were the Malachi Ashares unable to sing Shira? Because they asked.
John.
We never asked. Now, what's the distinction? So I'll use another example. There is a din of Kanaim Pogimbo, right? Pinchas, Habo El Aramis, Kanaim Pogimbo. That's what's called in Halacha, Halacha Ve'ein Morim Kain. That's the halacha, but if you go to Beis Din and you say, hey, I see an Aramis, a Kanai, being Boel somebody, can I kill him? They tell you no. Why not? So Rav Moshe Lichtenstein once quoted his grandfather. I remember he said, not the Rav, my other grandfather, Rav Aaron's father, who said as follows. The definition of a Kanai, the definition of a zealot, is a person who doesn't have the self-control to ask. He's so worked up, he's so furious at the desecration of God's name that he just kills the person. He says, if you ask, you're not a Kanai. And then they tell you no. I would suggest the same idea could be applied to us here. When we were saved at Yam Suf, we didn't go to ask God, hey, the Egyptians were killed, is it appropriate for us to praise you? We just did it. Because we were so excited. It's very similar to the first answer. We were so worked up. We were so appreciative of God that we had no choice but to sing praise to him. Okay, and then finally, the third answer. And again, it's also similar to the other ones. The third answer is that sometimes you have to have the whole picture in mind and sometimes you don't. Sometimes circumstances are such that we don't have to be objective, right? We feel so close to God that the deaths of the Egyptians don't matter. I think it's true. I think, you know, after the Six-Day War, only an idiot would stop and mourn the Arab deaths. It's not because we don't care about human life, but when your life is at risk and God saves you, you know, God's perspective is broad. And maybe God has to think, well, you know, I did the thing I had to do. I saved the Jews. Sadly, it was at the cost of the Egyptian lives. But we don't have to. Maybe later on, maybe weeks later, maybe years later, maybe thousands of years later, we're supposed to have a broader perspective. But not when it's happened, right? It's hard to be happy. You know, you have this all the time, I guess, in life, which is you're happy for your life. You're happy when a good thing happens to you. Now, somebody says to you, you know, how could you be celebrating the fact that you won the lottery? People are starving in Africa and the disease is running rampant in Europe. The answer is I'm just a human being. You're right. If I was a different, better person, if I was God, I would have this bigger perspective. And maybe it would be hard for me to celebrate my birthday knowing that other bad things are going on in the world. But we're not God. We're just human beings. And as human beings, unlike Malachim, we're allowed to celebrate even if it caused pain for other people. And maybe in the end, you know, I mentioned this before, maybe in the end, that's really the secret of Shvi'i Shel Pesach. God didn't want to say that we're celebrating on the seventh day of Pesach because that's the day of Kriyas Yam Suf. Because if that were the case, God would have to acknowledge that that's the day that he wiped out, you know, the Egyptian army. So God gives us permission to celebrate. He winks at us and he tells us, yeah, we all know that the seventh day of Pesach is Kriyas Yam Suf. We all know that the seventh day of Pesach is Shiras Hayam. and therefore you're going to sing Az Yashir just like they did. But I don't want to say it in the Torah. I don't want to connect the seventh day of Pesach to Kriyas Yamsuf because for some reason I'm worried. I'm worried that just like I didn't let the Malachi Asharis sing Shira during Kriyas Yamsuf because the Egyptians were drowning, I don't want to establish a holiday if it's the day on which my creations were killed. It's interesting, right? Sukkot doesn't have that. I guess you could argue, you know, wow, what about Tanis, but what about Makas Bechoros on the first day? Not sure. Shavuos doesn't have it. Rosh Hashanah doesn't have it. Yom Kippur doesn't have it. It could be that the seventh day of Pesach, if you ask anybody, the seventh day of Pesach is a Yom Tov because God said so before Kriyas Yamsuf ever happened. But we know better. We know better. We know that the reason is because Kriyas Yamsuf happened on that day. And so, in a strange way, we don't say Hallel Shalem. We do a fake Hallel. We say Chatzi Hallel because we don't want it to be too big a Yom Tov. But we're going to say Az Yashir. And it could be that really tomorrow morning, we're supposed to experience Az Yashir on the anniversary of Kriyas Yamsuf, just like Leil HaSeder. There's supposed to be a sense that, you know, ki'ilu, just like b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros asatzmo, ki'ilu hu yatzam im Yitzrayim, I think b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros asatzmo, ki'ilu hu avar es hayamsof. And that the only excuse we have for singing Shira to God on the seventh day of Pesach is if we re-experience it as if it happened to us. If we do it as a historical commemoration, I don't know. But if we do it the way Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael did it, you know, 3,600 and something years ago, sorry, I don't remember, you know, then we have the right to do it completely joyously as if we went through Yamsuf. All right, that's what I have. I hope it helped.
Beautiful.
Thank you.